Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you here. If I haven't met you, my name's Matt, part of the team here at One Hope. We have just finished a wonderful series through the life and teaching of Jesus, focusing on the Gospel of Matthew. And today, I want to have something a bit more like a pastoral chat with you about some things that came up actually in conversations and in responses with some of the things that came up in that series. And I'm going to take my launching place from the very last words, actually, of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "I will be with you always to the very end of the age." Now, what did Jesus mean by this? Because, of course, he was not physically going to be with them. This is explained a little further in John's Gospel, where John records Jesus explaining how this is going to work. In John chapter 14, Jesus is telling them, "If you love me, obey my commandments." And he says in verse 16, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give another advocate who will never leave you." Similar language. "He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you." He lives with you now, but later will be in you. "No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." Wonderful words there from John's Gospel, explaining to us that Jesus is going to be with us, even though they were lamenting the fact that Jesus was going away. In fact, he was going to be with them in a far more intimate way than he was even during the 3 years that they spent with him physically. He was going to be not only with them, but he was going to dwell within them by the Holy Spirit. We, as Christians, we sometimes talk about inviting Jesus into our hearts. This is the invitation that all people have to invite God into their hearts and to allow him to bring his rule of peace. In John chapter 16, Jesus says here, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth." So then in Galatians 5 verse 16, Paul says, in accordance with this, "So I say, walk by the Spirit." So he's come to guide us in all truth, and therefore the imperative is that as he guides us, we walk in the Spirit, as though he were setting footprints in place for us to step into as we keep in step with his Spirit. And as a result, in Galatians 5:22, Paul goes on to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. This is what will change. Things are going to change in your life. All of the things that you know that you should be will start to emerge as you keep in step with the Spirit. This is the important thing that I'm going to emphasize today. As you keep in step with the Spirit. So he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then he says, a couple of verses later in verse 25, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." And then in Romans 8:14, "For those who are led by the Spirit are children of God." In other words, Jesus was planning with all of us to continue doing the very thing that he was doing with the disciples when he was with them, but in a much more efficacious way, in the sense that it's going to be a transformative thing because it's going to be internal. And we see that happening. We see the real changes start to take place, even in the disciples themselves, as the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in their lives. What this means is, and this is my point, is that right now you are being discipled. This is what it means to be a Christian. God has come to us in Jesus Christ, but that's in itself is in a sense not even close enough. No, he comes to dwell within us by his Holy Spirit. You are being led and discipled right now by God. There is a process. Now, the reason why I wanted to talk about this today is partly to correct, I think, a misunderstanding about the nature of the kind of change that Jesus wants to lead us into. Because what this essentially means is that the rest of your life is going to be a process of change, of transformation. That's the essential sign of life. Living things grow, as I say 1,000 times, all right? Living things grow, change, transform. That's the vital sign of life. But I want to say a few things about the nature of that growth and that change this morning, because sometimes, and I've found in my conversations with people, particularly as maybe certain issues have come up, certain areas of what we might describe as brokenness in us have come up, we have an unfortunate tendency, and this is a bit of a cultural thing, of seeing ourselves in very mechanistic terms. Like we're mechanistic objects, like physical, psychological objects, like and that maybe get broken. And what we really need is that for God to come and kind of fix this mechanism, right? Make some changes, and then we'll be right, and then we can get on with the rest of our life and live the way that we should. Now that actually might, maybe that is the way that you've thought about it. But this is actually a problem. There's actually a problem with this. And it's a problem with human identity. It's this mechanistic view of human identity. It's like, as though we were a car that, has really bad wheel alignment and it keeps pulling to the, pulling one way and it keeps conking out when we, at traffic lights. And maybe you feel like your life is a bit like that. It's got all of these sorts of things that seem to impede you going forward, right? And you think, why? I just want God to come and fix me, right? Let's put it in the workshop. But God, fix me so I can get on with the rest of my life, right? And so I can do the rest of my life well. And so we're constantly tending to want to find that silver bullet fix, right? That thing that's just going to fix us, and then we can get on with things. And again, the problem with this comes back to a very inadequate view of actually what we are as human beings that we've just imbibed, as I say, through our culture. Now, even within psychology, this is recognized as a problem, and there's a field of psychology called Gestalt psychology that emphasizes the fact that actually that's not what we are. The way that we, and I think that there's truth to this, and actually I think this is behind, this beautifully articulates, I think, a biblical view of the human self. Our sense of self is entirely defined relationally in the way that we relate to each other, to the world around us, but ultimately, I'm going to say today, ultimately in our relationship with God, our sense of self is not just where this kind of object, your sense of yourself, I know this is a little philosophical right now, but this really matters. The sense of self, any sense of self that we have is a result of relationships, the result of how those relationships are functioning, and also a kind of hierarchy of relationships. And so it wouldn't be going too far to say, in a sense, that we are our key relationships. We become our relationships. What we call us, ourself, is something that exists in a sort of dynamic relationship with other people, with our environment, and ultimately with God. So I am my sense of self. I am a husband. I am a father. It's in my relationship to those around me, but ultimately my sense of self comes, or should come, from being a child of God. That is the ultimate sense of self. And it's, and because relationships are a dynamic thing, I mean, I could say, well, I have a relationship with my wife because I can show you the certificate. But it's not quite, the relationship consists not in just me having a certificate of marriage. The relationship consists in something dynamic and ongoing, right? And it's the same in our relationship with God. The defining relationship for human beings is our relationship with God. And that's an ongoing, dynamic thing. So, here's why this is important, right? Here's why this is important. Because everything about you, all of those issues that perhaps you want to see change in, that you perhaps the problems that you see in yourself, because you are essentially relational as a person, all of our issues are also relational. All of our problems come from some kind of misrelation. Even if terrible things have happened to you, it's how you respond to those things that tends to shape who you become. I mean, this is kind of basic stuff. So at the core of our issues is not, because we use the language of brokenness a lot. But the problem with that is it's just a bit too mechanistic, because actually the problem is that of misrelation in some sense. And so it's getting our relationships back in order, and things like learning to forgive there are some relationships absolutely that cannot be restored for various reasons. But again, getting our key relationships in place, that is the key transformative thing in our lives. And most of all, your relationship with God. In every situation, the most important thing is how you are relating to God in that situation. And almost everything that God does, everything that happens in your life, is a process of God strengthening your faith relationship with Him in some sense. Now, this is important because as we tend to objectify ourselves, we tend to view our life in terms of objects and objectives, right? If I can just get this sorted out, right? If that can just sort out, then I'll be fine. If this circumstance can be fixed or get better, then everything will be fine. And then we, of course, think that if only God fixed that, then I'd be fine. But see, what God wants to do the most in and through every single situation, however deplorable it may be, however much even He deplores the situation you're in, is to draw you closer to Him. Everything is relational. Everything. That's a very, very simple point. Did that make sense? Okay. Now, the reason why that's important, so that's the first idea. Let's just put that on the wall, sort of hammer it to the wall and keep it in front of us, right? Everything is relational. Everything that's happening right now in your life is about your relationship with God primarily. Second to that, in accordance with the greatest commandment, I mean, this is all through Scripture, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Everything flows from that, right? So just nail that to the wall from everything is relational. God, He is trying to get your attention. You're focusing on this and that and them and this and him and her and what He's saying. No, I just listen to my voice. I'm leading you. I'm God. This is all about our relationship with God. Now, what that means then, if it's relational, then it's also incremental. It's also incremental. Keep in step with the Spirit. In step with the Spirit. I love that imagery. Keep in step with the Spirit. It's incremental. The reason it's incremental is because it's relationship. Did I mention that? Relationships are built and strengthened incrementally. Let's say anyone here who I don't know too well, you know, I would love to say to you, right, in the next 5 minutes, we're gonna form a really strong relationship. In like five minutes, we're gonna establish trust and rapport and 5 minutes, and it'll just be as strong as a relationship can be. It's impossible, isn't it? Because we've got a journey together, right? We've got to build that trust and that. Because if it's about knowing one another, then that's an incremental relational process. And it's a journey actually that never ends. You never get to a point with another person, oh, I already know, like, there's nothing more to know. We can stop now. We can stop relating now. Because we're just there. No, the relationship can always go deeper. If that's so with us, how much more with God, right? It's this incremental process. And part of the reason for that also is because God doesn't ever contravene our will. Because it's relational, it's about what I've described before as a confluence of wills. Wayne, I will grab that glass of water, thanks. When someone offers you a glass of water, say yes. So it's about a confluence of wills. Now that's a process, right? God just doesn't force himself on us. Why? Because he wants a relationship. So it's the bringing together of two wills becoming one, not my will, but your will be done. It's the confluence of wills. Confluence is the word that describes when two rivers join and become one, right? I think it's beautiful imagery of the ultimate goal of everything, actually, even prayer. You know, I've said before, prayer isn't about getting what you want. Ultimately, prayer is about wanting with God, desiring with God, being one, union with God. Now, that's an incremental process. So, that's why it's not just about God just coming and fixing that thing. You got the rest of your life for this, right? And the more problems you have, the more problems, and let me say this as someone that has a lot of problems. Therefore, there is so much opportunity for you to experience the transforming power of God. For all the time I've been a Christian, the people that seem to have the most intimate, the most dynamic sense of relationship with God are those who had the most problems that they had to journey through. So, you got the rest of your life to work through that stuff. And it's not about getting to the point. It's not about the goal, you know, getting to the point where I'm fixed or now I'm better and now I can just get on with my life. No. It's all about the relational journey. It's about the relational journey. This is what your life is about. Let me describe it this way. I was trying to look for an image, and you know, I love my metaphors. I love metaphors mainly because there's something ultimately mysterious about this, and metaphors are wonderful because they preserve a sense of the mystery, but be careful of over-applying them. I'm going to use a metaphor that I've used before because I think it beautifully describes our relational sense of identity, and also it describes, I think, the nature of the process. I've described us as something like diamonds. And the thing about diamonds is the beauty, the glory, let me put it this way, the sublime glory of a diamond comes actually not from the diamond itself. It comes from the way that the diamond absorbs, refracts, and reflects the light. That's why when someone examines a diamond, the first thing they do is they take it into the light, maybe out into the sunshine, right? And they hold it up, right? So it captures the light. So it absorbs and captures the light. Listen, there is such a longing in the human heart for the light of the love of God. We were made, this is who we are. We are like diamonds created to absorb, to receive, to refract, to reflect the light of the glory and the love of God. And there is nothing that the human heart longs for more than this. Now, the problem is that when we cut ourselves off from God, when we take ourselves into the darkness, out of the light, we still have the longing, right? It is the most fundamental longing in the human heart. It's the longing for a sense of value, right? I'm valuable. I mean, we know that this is what people long for the most, right? This is why people want to be loved, because there's this deep yearning and this intuition, there's something sacred, there's something valuable. I need to, it's having that sense of value. Now, when you take the diamond out of the light, it loses that sense of inherent value, right, that comes from God. So therefore, what we do is that we paint the diamond. We paint the diamond over, so that it reflects something. Again, I mean, metaphors all fall short in some sense, but go with me here. This is helpful for me, because I keep finding myself trying to paint the diamond so that I feel valuable. Oh, I've got to paint the diamond. And you can do it in religious ways too. I've got to do more of this, and I've got to do more, and I've got to pray more. I've got to go and, you know, I've got to do more good works. It's just like painting the diamond. I need to, you know, acquire social status. You know, I need to have the right sort of image. And we build these identities. It's like it's almost like a shell. It's a casement, because we're painting over, and it gets thicker and thicker and thicker, because you never feel convinced by it. Never satisfies, right? We paint over. Oh, is this good? Is this good now? And even if people say, oh, you're amazing, all that stuff that you do, and you've achieved so much, and aren't you wonderful, and you acquire all the status, and you become an absolute rock star, right? You will never be convinced, because it's not what your heart longs for. Because your heart longs for the glory of God, right? And the irony is, the more you paint over that, the less you capture of the love and the glory of God. And so you just keep making those layers thicker and thicker and thicker, because what else are you going to do? This is the world, right? This is the world. And it's just so tragic. It's so tragic. And so let me come back to the point that I'm trying to make today. So this relational process that I've described, this incremental process, is therefore, it's largely about stripping the diamond back, isn't it? You know that this is what it is. It's about stripping the diamond back. All of those things that you depend on for your sense of self, your sense of identity. It's those situations that he puts you in, you are getting stripped back, aren't you? All of the things that you thought were giving you value and a sense of self and a sense of this and a sense of security, and it's being stripped back. Of course it is. Because he wants to get to the diamond, do you understand? He's going for the diamond. And he wants to expose that thing to the only reason we come to faith in the first place is because he puts some cracks in that, right? And we get a sense, there's something there. There's something that my soul needs, and it's something to do with being in the light of God, right? Now, what this means, like practically what this means, because it's such an incremental process, because he's so gentle with us, right? We can't handle it all at once, right? So he's just like, oh, I'm just going to strip back here. Oh, can you see? And this is why it's like, oh, man, there's experiences that I've hated going through. And yet it causes a crack and the light shines through. And I say to myself, I don't know, like this has been so terrible, but yet I'm so thankful that this has happened to me. And so it teaches me, right, that I just have to continually submit. And I have no idea. People say, oh, so how, you know, give me like 5 easy steps. Oh, I don't know. I mean, honestly, it's like, I know I'm meant to do that as a preacher. But this is my step. This is honestly the most common prayer that I pray. Because there's stuff caked on me that I cannot remove, right? Like this was such an important realization. I can't move this stuff. So I say, God, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm blind, I'm deaf, I'm crippled. Lord, I need you to do this. I know that sounds, oh man, that just sounds really simplistic as I said that. But honestly, I come back to this place again and again. And then you know what? God honors that prayer because he starts doing things. And the thing is, because it's relational, he wants us to cooperate, acknowledge, Lord, I see that you're doing this. I see, Lord, that you're wanting me to trust you with this. That's what this is about. I see, Lord, that you want me to give this over. Okay. I see, Lord, that you want to, you want to heal some things that have been put upon me. You want to show me that they're lies. And you want to strip it away and set me free. And it's because it's relational, it's also conversational, right? Everything is about the conversation. It's not mechanistic. Don't stop thinking. It's not getting out the spanners and the screwdrivers. He is talking to you. Through everything and every circumstance. Everything is relational, which means it's conversational. And so hearing the voice of God in the deepest sense, as Jesus said, the truth will set you free. That's what this is about. And the thing is, because you might wonder, oh, okay, so what do I do now? You need to recognize what God is already doing. He's already speaking to you. What is that thing that he's asking you to trust him with? What is that thing that he's requiring of you? What is that step of obedience? You know what it is, like deep down, you know what it is. What is that next step? What is that thing that you haven't been doing that's going to build that relationship that you just need to prioritize? It's not about quantity. It's just about doing that thing that he's calling you to do. It's him saying, right, we're just going to do this right now. Just one step, one increment. Let's do that together. And then you'll do another one and another one and another one. And it's so beautiful. And at the end of the day, even though we are so complex, it's so simple. I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Why don't we stand together? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you were saying and what you were doing. We thank you, Lord, that You are restoring us, Lord God. You're purifying us, Lord God. You're setting us apart again so that you're consecrating us again, making us holy. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for your persistence in this. Lord, we're sorry that we have not listened to you when you have called. Lord, we're sorry we have not obeyed you, Lord God, when you've said, step here. Lord, we're sorry that we've not trusted you, Lord, when you've called us to trust. And so today, Lord, we sacrifice before you all that is false. And there's so much. We bring all the layers and we ask you, Lord, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, Lord, and help us, each one here. And shape us, Lord God, in relationship with you, into the people we need to be, that we might shine like diamonds, reflecting to each other and to this world the beauty of the love and the glory of God. In Jesus' name, let's respond with this song.